So how are you guys doing today? Yeah? Well, you don't have to be doing well. I hope you are. You don't have to be. I just hope that somehow after today you feel a bit more connected with God. My name's Kevin. I'm the lead pastor here, and I want to tell you about a lion. And this lion just loved being macho. He actually really loved his mane. He loved braiding it and shaking it. He loved walking around and roaring at people. Well, animals, actually. He liked scratching trees. He even liked to mark his territory. This is a lion that people were afraid of. Actually, what he really liked was that when he went up to some animals and they'd run away, he loved that. He loved being the baddest animal in the jungle. It was so gratifying that everyone was afraid of him. Well, this lion just loved being tough, but it was tiring work being tough. So sometimes he had to rest. So he went to the pond that he always goes to in the forest, and he had his big drink of water and decided to have a sleep. He's sleeping, but this tough lion wakes up and he hears this noise. It's kind of different. It's brat. He's like, what? I feel kind of scared. Hears it again. Brat. He doesn't know what it is. And now he's starting to shake, and his mane is like more like a blankie for him. And he just can't figure it out. He doesn't like being scared. Well, it turns out he sees something come out of this pond, and it's a frog. This frog jumps out of the pond, and the frog sees the lion and goes, and the lion's kind of mad at this frog for scaring him. So the lion roars at the frog, and the frog jumps back. And the lion is a bit gratified by that, but was just really angry that this frog scared him. So he reached out with his claws and slashed it to pieces. That was the end of the frog. It croaked. But the lion was actually no braver because of that activity. Now, the moral of the story is that fear can make us do crazy things. It can make us lash out. It can make us react in ways we don't want to react. It can make us cringe at things we don't want to cringe at. It makes us do things that are just no good. Fear is the enemy. The disciples were learning about who Jesus is. It was frightening to them. So there were some terrifying moments. The implications were beyond their thinking about who Jesus was, that God was walking with them. It was unimaginable that God, in keeping with and in continuation with this Jewish tradition of Passover, would make himself the Passover lamb for all creation? I mean, that was beyond what any of them had expected. That Jesus was a God who had dominion over all of creation. And that he was calling them to follow him to the ends of the earth and beyond. And he conquered it with love and sacrifice instead of might and a sword. And that terrified them. Now, the unknown often does that. It often terrifies us, doesn't it? We fear what we don't know. I think a lot of us fear what we can't control. When it's out there and we can't control it, we fear it. Fear is a powerful motivator. It can really kick us into gear, into action, or it can cause us to lash out like that lion. Or it can paralyze us. In this encounter with Jesus, the disciples experience something that they do not understand. And they are so afraid. They're out there fishing in their fishing boat that belonged to Simon Peter and his partners, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, nicknamed Sons of Thunder. And maybe the company name was the Sons of Thunder Fishing. I don't know. Something like that. But Jesus had gotten to this boat because so many people had wanted to hear him preach. And they were pressing in. The crowds were coming in. And he had to get away from them so he didn't get pressed into the water. They were so hungry for his words. You know, John the Baptist had introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God. I just think that's a really funny title. The Lamb of God. Lamb of God. The Lamb of the Creator. The Lamb of the King. This is how John introduced him in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in John, it's the very first title that they give Jesus, Lamb, the Lamb of God. The Messiah was being introduced as a lamb. And these were two categories that didn't mix well in Jewish minds. Messiahs were for conquering and lambs were for sacrifice. It didn't really work. And I'm sure that was puzzling. I'm sure it raised many questions, so people wanted to hear him. They were excited to hear what this Lamb of God had to say. So he got into the boat to preach so he wouldn't be driven into the water. And then after he finished preaching, he reveals something to his disciples. So we pick up in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. You can follow along on the screen if you like. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partner in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were dumbfounded. And really, why wouldn't they be? What does a lamb know about fishing? This Lamb of God, the one expected by the people, by his disciples to be a leader of a revolution, what could he know about fishing? So for all we know, this lamb had never fished before. Yet this is a fishing lamb. This is a lamb who knows where to put the nets down. This is a lamb who inspires astonishment, yet conquers fear. So they caught so many fish, they had to call another boat. And both boats were almost sinking. It is astonishing because these were professional fishermen. These were tradesmen. They knew what they were doing. I like to go fishing sometimes, but I feel like I like fishing more than I'm good at catching fish. I mean, I cast out there with sinking line when I should use floating line. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I miss the hatch. I'm not very good. I don't know what to do. I don't catch many fish. I get skunked more than I catch fish. And I don't mind killing them. I'm not that nice of a guy. I got to go fishing with Cindy's uncle once, who's a professional fishing guide, and this guy knows how to fish. I don't know what it is with some people. Some people just seem to have this vibe that fish get, and they catch fish. He catches fish wherever he goes. People travel across the world to go fishing with him. So we went salmon fishing, and I'm in the boat, and there's a couple of us in this boat, and I'm not catching anything. You're not surprised, right? I'm not catching anything, and he says, "Well, okay, the bite is on. put your lure down here, but only about 20 feet, and start jigging with your buzz bomb. You know what a buzz bomb is? I had a buzz bomb on my line. Didn't usually help me too much. So I started jigging, and almost as soon as I pulled it up, I got a bite. And the guy beside me in the boat, he got a bite at the same time. And I brought in this coho salmon, and he brought in this coho salmon. We brought these amazing fish in at exactly the same time. I mean, some people just know how to fish. This guy's a fish whisperer. Like, he knew what to do. It didn't rub off on me. But that's what these fishermen are like. They know what they're doing. They know where to go. The fish listen to them. They're in this profession because they're good at it. They're pros. They know fish. The fish obey their call. Somehow they seem connected to the fish. They've been out all night, night fishing, moving from place to place, trying different depths of water, going to all the right places, doing all the right actions, and nothing was working. They even had special nets for night fishing. Nothing. It was just one of those days where the fish don't seem to be biting. Nothing. They tried really hard, and nothing was working. So Jesus, this landlubber, this lamb, comes along and talks like he knows about fish. Hey guys, go over there where the water's deeper. Put your nets there, that's where you catch some fish. It's really laughable, right? It's like me telling Cindy's uncle where to put his lures in and how to fish. Kind of cute, but Kevin doesn't really know. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, Dave, go over to that spot right there and put your lure in 35 feet and jig it. Okay, Kevin, whatever. What does this lamb know about fishing? Yet, Jesus says this. He tells them to move over there to the deep waters, waters that they've never tried because they know they do not produce fish. So Peter's response is respectful, if a bit tired, if a bit indulging. He shrugs his shoulders and says, well, I guess we've got this Emmanuel guy on our boat, this Messiah, this Lamb of God. Guess we should listen to him. So he smirks a little bit and this is so cute. Jesus wants us to fish over there. So he doesn't even have the right nets out. He's got the night nets out in his daytime. Day nets were different. It's like, okay, Jesus. We worked hard all last night catching fish and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again over in the deep water. If you say so. Hey, guys, this guy wants us to go over there and put the nets down. But don't say anything. He's the Lamb of God. So they do what Jesus says. And something happens that no one expected. They catch so many fish that their nets are about to break. They have to call another boat over to fill it up with fish, and that boat starts to sink. And this may be the understatement of the passage, but Peter was awestruck. He was amazed. He was astonished. And he didn't know what to do. He was beside himself. Now, I can just see Peter in the boat when this happened, afraid, kind of shrinking, making himself small, maybe covering his neck with his hands, all the things people do when they're afraid. He was afraid. He was awestruck, but there was fear in him. But what were they afraid of? Why was he afraid? Why was fear their first reaction? Why not cheering like, hey, I've got the boat, you've got the fishing skills, let's make lots of money. We can do this. Like, this is going to be good. We're going to be rich. He was afraid. Now, this was a reveal. It was like an epiphany. Something dawned on Peter that day. This isn't just some prophet doing miracles.
This is the Lamb of God. And the catch is a reveal about who God is, who Jesus is. Because the sea was understood to be the place of chaos, and only the Creator has dominion over chaos. And I think something clicked for Peter that day. And he was terrified. He was awestruck. So he recoils, maybe in fear and a bit of shame, and he says, "Leave me, I can't be in your presence. I'm a sinner. I'm not holy." And the same thing happened to Moses. Do you remember that? Moses was in the desert, and God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. In Exodus 3, it says this, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. The prophet Isaiah as well, when Isaiah saw the Lord seated on the throne, he says, "It's all over. I am doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." It's like the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 17, when the Lamb is seated on the throne and John sees the Lamb seated on the throne, he's awestruck, he's amazed. Peter is awestruck. This is the same Lamb, the fishing Lamb, the Lamb that knows about people. This is the Lamb that makes his followers true fishers. Fishers that catch people. So he was afraid. And once they get to shore, they leave everything. They leave the boats, the nets, even all those fish. Someone was happy with that little note they found on the boats. Free. But there was something that Jesus said to them that brought them to that point. Words that we need to hear. Words that we need to take to heart as we navigate life. "Fear not. Fear not, for I will make you fishers of men. Fear not, because I have something so much better for you." Are you ready to leave everything behind? Even your fears? It's curious, really. Here we are in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And just back a bit, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, some others have a similar terrifying experience. Shepherds. You remember that? They're out in the fields with their flocks at night. And a battalion of angels comes to them. Talk about fear, because these aren't fat little cherubs. These are like battle angels, and there's lots of them. These are angels. And the shepherds are afraid. They cower, they shrink, they hide, they make themselves small. And the angels spoke exactly the same words to those shepherds. "Fear not. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." Fear not. The exact same words, the exact same phrase in Luke, and it's not used anywhere else. Why? Why fear not? Now, I think maybe because fear is the primary obstacle of us following and seeing and changing. Because fear destroys relationships. Fear causes selfishness. Fear causes irrational behavior. And fear causes us to circle the wagons. "Fear not." Then they left everything behind. And I think Jesus commanded them, implored them to leave their fear behind. Not a suggestion, not a helpful hint, not a tip. It was a command. Fear not. Those shepherds and those fishermen were cowering. They were hiding. They were frozen. And that's what fear does. It causes us to shrink away from challenges and relationships and growth in this self-absorbed protectionism. We can be asked to follow, to leave everything, to sacrifice, but when it comes right down to it, fear keeps us from letting go. We want to leave things behind for Jesus. And cower in the boat. We all know what fear does. Fear is a liar. Fear is a deceiver. Fear destroys relationships. Because it's not willing to face the truth. Fear hurts churches and people because we value security more than growth. Fear is the enemy of discipleship. It is the enemy of growth. That silly lion, hey? He's a lot like us. Okay, he's a lot like me. Maybe not like you. He's a lot like me. Fearing what he doesn't know. Lashing out when he encounters the unknown. And I wonder how many of us feel like that lion. Roaring. Walking around being macho. But we're really inside scared of a little frog. Put on a brave face, but inside we're paralyzed by fear that we think we're keeping secret. We react to things. We have triggers. And they're different for all of us, but certain things trigger us. Those are our fears. What are you afraid of? Might not be a frog. Might not even be spiders. I'm talking about deeper things. Fear of the unknown. Fear of loss. Fear of commitment. Fear of intimacy. Fear of weakness. Fear of stillness. Fear of exposure. Fear of failure. What is it? Do you know? This is what Jesus says to those things. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm calling you to be fishers of men. I'm calling you to follow me. I'm calling you to something way better than fear. But you need to leave those fears behind if you really want to follow. Fear not. So we need courage. I want to take us back to a verse that we've resonated with as a church over the last few years. It's Joshua 1:9. It says this: Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Fear not. Know this call to follow? I think fear is the first thing we're called to leave behind. Because if we don't leave our fear behind, there's no way we're leaving our possessions behind. There's no way we're leaving all those other things behind. We need to leave our fears behind. And courage is facing those fears. It's stepping out. It's facing those areas of our lives that we try to keep hidden. And the people that know us well know that we think we're trying to keep them hidden, but we're really not. And for some of us, those fears have been pushed down for years. And they're holding us back and hurting us. And it's hurting the church. Fear is the enemy of discipleship. It's the enemy of growth. And I want to say, when we step out, we will be astonished. When we go to those places that we have avoided, we will be astonished what God will do. When we put first things first, when we make room, when we love God and others as our number one priority in life, we will be astonished and amazed and astounded. What are you afraid of? Hear these words. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not.